Janie Rayback is giving us a call this morning, and have a chance to talk with Janie about Gillette Community College here as part of our First Bank Sports Friday. Good morning, Janie. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Janie, we are tickled to have you with us as well. And just to kind of give some background to our listeners before we get into the meat of this, just kind of want people to understand kind of where you have gotten to where you've gotten to. You were a standout player at Star Valley High School. You parlayed that into college scholarship. You played in college. You played professionally down in South America, correct?
Yes, I played in Brazil.
I'm going off my memory, which is getting worse.
I know, it's pretty good. I like it.
And then you have turned this into a career as a coach, and you've been had a several different stops in kind of the same region of the country, like Montana, South Dakota, Wyoming, and but this last year, Janie, you and is it Coach Wilson?
Coach Lewis.
Yes. I'm sorry, I got it mixed up, but you two and the staff, it really seemed like, okay, this is your spot. You had the Gillette women ranked 21 in the JUCO ranks, and really seemed like kind of had things turned around, and then you get blindsided by all of this. Have I missed anything?
No, you got it covered. That's pretty much how it went. We were... our program at Gillette College was fantastic. We had a great group of girls. We were incredibly successful this last year. We went 28-5. We went from being non-ranked, a program that was coming off of, gosh, a 16 win season, and we took them into the national rankings. And we had a championship caliber team coming in this next season. And then, we kind of got blindsided by some decisions.
Now, tell us about how you found out, because when you say blindsided, I don't think that's an understatement at all. People really need to understand you didn't have a clue this was happening. How did you find out?
Well, and this is blindsided is kind of an understatement, to be honest. I was literally finalizing my roster. Like we were this week, we had talked to multiple recruits to finish our roster, and we had gotten commitments. And we had sent out our final documentation to one of our international students. We had put an I-20 in the mail on Wednesday night on the 24th, on June 24th. We put an I-20 in the mail, paid for it to be sent off. And I was talking with my host families, and we were pairing kids with our host families because our kids get ingrained in the community in Gillette. And we got an email. Both me and the head coach got an email and that said, meeting tomorrow, 8 a.m. with vice president. And I went, oh, this isn't good. It was just one of those emails that you knew something was wrong. We walked in to the office the next day and met with a VP and a human resource director who didn't even know my name. I had to introduce myself to her because she's on the Sheridan campus. And they said, well, we have a reduction in force due to a financial crisis. Both of your positions are eliminated effective immediately. Turn in your keys, turn in your phone, leave your computer, and exit the building immediately.
Holy
like
wow.
that's how it went down.
And that is, and, as you said, you were actively doing your work, recruiting up until literally until you got that email.
Yes. Literally until we got the email, and all the coaches had received the same email. So we, of course, were all chatting, going, what's going on? What happened? We were not expecting a complete cut of the program. There had been no discussion. I was expecting, you know, an assistant coaching position potentially to be cut. I was fully expecting to like lose my position. But then typically the next step is to discuss, okay, you have to limit your number of games. You have to eat here. You cannot stay overnight. Like, there's discussion that takes place typically. I've worked at 4 or 5 different institutions, and of course, every institution, there's budget issues. There's always discussion. Not in this situation. There was zero discussion with the coaches and about how to trim budgets, because we easily could have. I mean, our program has operated on pennies before at some of the other schools that I've coached at. So we know how to pinch a penny. It was never even put on the table.
So, Janie, what happened afterwards? Understand that there was some sort of community public meeting, and there was actually even some proposals and some that offered to raise some money to try and salvage the programs and bring the sports programs back. But obviously that didn't go anywhere. So tell us what happened there.
Oh, that was a doozy, too, because you go from losing your whole world. I had to contact all of my players, and it turned out that some coaches even contacted my players before we got a chance to tell them. Like, there was a lot of stuff that happened that was just discouraging in the coaching world at that point. But then we got notification that I did my digging instantly because I'm like, wait, this isn't right. Something doesn't feel good about this. I did my digging right away to find out that it had to go through an official board meeting in order to be passed. So they technically fired us before the board voted on it. And so we're going, what can we do? We had the city commissioners, our mayor, everyone in town, the booster club, we had state legislatures, like we had everyone involved in this decision saying, we can save it, like, let's do this. So one of our county commissioners went to President Tribley, who is the president of the Northern Wyoming Community College District, which includes Gillette Campus and Sheridan Campus. He went to President Tribley and said, what's our option here? Our president told us and said, if you show the money and show, you know, a plan, I'll turn on a dime. We'll turn our decision on a dime. And so our county commissioner said, what's the number? We had to raise $532,000 in order to save the program for this year, which we did. Our community came together, phenomenal community, phenomenal support. I could not believe how many people rallied. And Gillette College came up with the money in 4 days.
Wow.
4 days. It happened that fast.
And to put that in perspective, it's not like Gillette, as a community in Northeast Wyoming, has been going through easy times either.
No. No. I mean, everyone in Wyoming is suffering from economic, you know, problems right now, and Gillette community still pulled it off. Our booster club had a savings. Our foundation at the Gillette College stepped up, and then we obviously had donors across the community. I mean, the Pronghorn Center, which is by far one of the best JUCO facilities in the nation, was built by the city of Gillette and by huge donors and people stepping up wanting to see this program be successful. And so all those people, of course, stepped in and said, what are we doing? Let's save this. So then we get our hopes up, and the whole town, it literally drives to Sheridan and to go to this board meeting. The board meeting was originally scheduled in the Golden Dome, which obviously is a big venue. They moved it to a small auditorium, practiced social distancing, and so they had about 50 of us in a room. So they changed the venue on us last minute, too. And then they allowed us 2 minutes to speak, like everyone could speak. There was no Q&A, no question and answer. And then the president spoke for about 45 minutes, and the board voted unanimously to cut the program. So even so, Gillette had money on the table.
That's one of the things I wanted to read. It sounds like you had the money in hand, like you had it.
We did.
It wasn't one of those, yeah, well, we have promissory notes, or we think that we can get it. This person said they would. You had it. And you went, and what was their reasoning? Did they give a reason why?
No. The reason why, Gillette College had claimed a financial emergency on like June 18th, due to the economy. Gillette College claimed the Northern Wyoming Community College District claimed a financial emergency. The number that we were getting cut was significant. It aligned perfectly with athletics. And so I think it was the easy cut. It was the easy decision. But to be honest, Dal, I think that once the money was on the table, because we had it, we did, our booster club did say that they would pay expenses as they accrued. So like as we go through the season and we go on this road trip, they'll pay them then, you know, which is kind of typical, you know? And so they said that that's how they'd pay everything else up front. And it just, they said, nope, Sheridan doesn't have a plan. And so, nope. So the president had told us that he would turn on a dime, which was not the case. And then he said, it's due to the financial crisis. yet we had the money in hand. So is it a fiscal issue or is this a political issue?
So
that was the question that all of us had.
So, Janie, as we look at this, it's been brought up several times already, but it seems like one of the complicating factors of this whole process was the fact that Gillette and Sheridan College are under the same umbrella as this, yeah, as this district. And obviously, it seems like one of the first things that Gillette wanted to do was separate themselves from Sheridan for that reason, for the idea that, hey, maybe Sheridan doesn't want their college to continue, but Gillette does. I'm paraphrasing, of course. So, you know, now that that's been, you know, 10 days or so, where are you and what's on the table? What options do you have?
Well, so this is the thing. The minute Gillette community was told no on this, of course, everyone went right into what's next. The Gillette community is, like I said, fantastic. They are a can-do community. They, you know, bond together over anything. They just are a fantastic group of people. So the next day, they literally had things in place and the wheels in place that we're separating. Like, we want to separate from Sheridan College. And our county commissioner had actually put that on the table with the Board of Trustees and President Tribley, saying, hey, this is part of our proposal. Like, if you guys turn us down, then we're going to separate. Part of the problem is all the members of the Board of Trustees and President Tribley and majority of our VPs are on Sheridan's campus. Our vice president that was at Gillette College didn't even know about the cuts and about cutting the programs until that week. She wasn't even involved in the conversation, yet she's a vice president. And so, yeah, there's just a lot of secret meetings behind closed doors, a lot of things that just don't feel right. But Gillette's like, yep, let's separate, let's do it. So I know that there's already a petition going around in Gillette. We have to collect so many signatures, and then it has to go on the ballot in order for the voters of Campbell County to vote to separate from Sheridan College. But then there has to be like a mill levy, like they have to tax a certain percentage. And with economic times right now, I think that's going to be something that's going to be hard to do. But it's probably about a 2-year process due to it having to be on the ballot. But it's already in works. Like, they already have the petition out to get it signed, which is the first step.
We're speaking with Janie Rayback on First Bank Sports Friday this morning. Of course, Janie, let's talk about the impact to the students, the student athletes. You were telling us how you were finalizing recruiting plans and scholarships and everything like that. At this point in the game, it's way too late for a student to try and transfer or go somewhere else or get into another school, and so they're kind of stuck. So what happens to a student that had been awarded a scholarship? Are they still going to get that scholarship and at least have their education? Or you know, what's going to happen for the students that you were expecting to help get their education through sports?
So first of all, the school did honor scholarships. And this is one of the conversations that's out there across Gillette and across media saying, well, academics first, you know, sports can take a back seat. It's good that the school's focusing on academics. And I mean, I think I'm talking with sports people here a little bit. So
yes,
I mean,
you are.
Obviously, you understand the implications of that. There's a lot of athletes out there that would not have an opportunity, or they do not have the support system to be successful without their team, without a coaching staff, without that camaraderie and that support. They just wouldn't make it through higher ed. And there's some that I'm really worried about, my players, some of them not being able to finish now. But on the recruiting side of things, we had conversations with every single one of our players, and our players are like, coach, I'll wait till you find a new job. The loyalty was incredible. Like, it was incredible. Our girls were so loyal, and they're like, coach, I'll wait. I'll sit out a year. It's okay. Like, once you find a new job. And I'm like, guys, it's really late in the process for us to find a job. And, you know, for our coaching staff to find a job together at this point, it's probably impossible. Like, we're probably going to have to go our separate ways and go, you know, be assistants in other programs at this point. And I couldn't get our girls to understand that. Like, it was tough. There was a lot of tears, a lot of confusion, a lot of phone calls. I have been on constant communication with all of them. And we have 14 girls that we're trying to take care of here. So what happened is we've gotten most of them off to other schools. Typically, coaches hang on to one scholarship this time of year for a difference maker, for a kid that could potentially come in and just make an immediate impact. Or somebody quits, or somebody falls off the, they can't get an international student in. There's something. So there's usually money out there. We've got our kids off to some of the best programs in the country. One of our incoming players is off to Central Arizona, who is a powerhouse team. They saw film on her for 2 seconds and went, "Oh my gosh." And I said, "I know, you're welcome." because we had a really good team. Really good team. But most of them have gone off. Some are sitting out. We have one that's going on a mission. And some are still in limbo, and we're still constantly working and constantly in communication. That's the thing, is the administration didn't understand that these are our girls. Like, these are my players. They even told us not to contact them. They said that, well, our president will send them a letter. And I went, "Excuse me?" Like, no, these are my kids. These are my kids. Like, no, I need to contact them. And we need time to work with them. But they cut off any of our access right away. So we couldn't even, like, make highlight films and stuff for our players to get them recruited. So they basically hamstringed us.
Janie, one thing I want to touch on as well is, as far as it seemed very short-sighted on the decision, because at the community college level, so many of the students at the college are there to participate in athletics. And so you're cutting athletics, but at the same time, you're also cutting a huge number of your students that were going to attend your school that are now going to go somewhere else.
130 students. 130, like, full-time enrollment. So 130 FTE were cut from Gillette College. So now you have no one in the dorms. You have no one in the cafeteria. My guess is the end game is to close Gillette.
Wow.
Like, that's potentially what the – because that could potentially be what happens. When you drop below a certain number of enrolled students, you no longer receive state funding. And so that could have been the end game the whole time.
Well, Janie, we appreciate you taking some time with us this morning and sharing your insight with us. We wish you the very, very best. So you mentioned how difficult it's going to be to find a replacement position for you, but have you been able to find any leads anywhere to get yourself on a court someplace?
Yeah, there's a few, but I'm not in a hurry right now to rush off, just like some of my players. I mean, I want to find the right fit. Gillette felt so good. It just felt like home. I've been circling the globe trying to find a place, and it just felt like such a good place to be. And so I'm not in any hurry right now to rush into anything. I have some little individual skill sessions planned with some younger kids in Gillette, and so I'll still be on a court. Don't you worry. Like, I have that in the works already. But as far as coaching at the college level, there's some assistant positions out there, but I'm just taking my time with this decision because it's a big one.
Janie Rayback joining us this morning with the Gillette College Athletic Program. Thanks so much, Janie. We appreciate your time.